We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, and we're doing the last verses, 61 through 75. And this really has prophecy of what's to come and tells Joseph Smith to go back to translating the New Testament and how grateful we are for what he has done with that. And we're just going to jump right here after 61's when he's told to go back and do it. And then it says in 62, "For I say to you, great things await." And I love that again, it says great things, that the Lord really knows, he who sees all knows that this is for our good. And the thing that I wrote right there is, do you think they would agree at this point? Now that all of that's done and we flash forward 200 years, do you feel that those early pioneers who sacrificed so much and went through such hard things, would you say that they would say, oh my gosh, we had no idea? And it reminds me of Joseph Smith when he said, we are but babes. You are but babes in the school of the prophets. And truly, we just, he knew so much. He had seen so much and so said it to them. We know less than, well, we know some things they didn't know, but truly these people who investigated and learned so much and had such revelation, we're so grateful for that. But they were learning, they were feasting at the feet of our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and having such major revelations. And I do think that they would say, yeah, we had no clue the great things and the small sacrifices they would say that they made were so worth it, which we know were huge sacrifices to us. But I think we need to have that same eternal perspective. I need to have that same eternal perspective. 63. "Ye hear of wars in foreign lands, but behold, I say to you, they are nigh, even at your doors. Not many years hence, ye shall hear of wars in your own land." And it won't be many years till the Civil War comes. And it's 14 years after the saints arrive in Utah that the Civil War just is going. And it, by that time that they get to Utah, there's 70,000 members by the time the Civil War breaks out. And only a couple hundred, very few hundred, served in the Civil War that were Latter-day Saints. And it was fun to go and read about some of them. And really, the prophecy here is amazing. 64, "Wherefore I, the Lord, have said, gather ye out from the eastern lands, assemble yourselves together, ye elders of my church, go ye forth to the western countries. Call upon the inhabitants to repent. Inasmuch as they do repent, build up churches unto me." And it just reminds me, look for those who are looking for God to prevail. And I just was listening to Elder Christofferson's conference talk, which just so touched me as he talked about John and Mary, who are not their real names, but this couple who the woman had not been active and married and the man was not a member, but raised their children, recognized that they really needed to have the gospel's influence. And just was beautiful as he said, every single person on this earth deserves to have a chance to hear about the gospel. And I loved that so much. Verse 65, "With one heart, with one mind, gather up your riches that you may purchase an inheritance, which shall hereafter be appointed to you." All of you should have one purpose, and that is to buy this land for this New Jerusalem in 66, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. God knew they would be moving on. That was not a shock to him. And yet he told them to all have one purpose and buy lands for this New Jerusalem, this new city. And isn't that interesting? It reminded me when our second son was getting ready to, he was a senior, to put his papers in. It was a few months before, a little bit before. And I had the distinct impression come to me that the spirits say he needs to pay for his entire mission. And I think at that point, he had about half saved for it. And I thought, okay, he has mown lawns for probably the last 5 years. There's no way that he's going to be able to pay the whole thing. And so I thought, okay, if there's a way possible, I don't know how that's possible, but, you know, okay. And I remember mentioning it it to my husband and him saying, there's just no way. And then a couple days later, my son came to me and he said, I've had the most interesting thing happen. And I said, what's that? And he said, I have had the strongest impression that I need to pay my entire mission. And I said, oh my gosh, I had the same impression. And he said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, Mom, but I think I need to do it. And a couple days later, a guy called in the ward and said he was going to sell his lawn mowing company. And we had about 15 customers. He had about 30. And he allowed our son to pay that off by percentages over the summer as he mowed. And so our son would wake up at 7 a.m., go to bed at 7 at night, 6 days a week. And he made $15,000 that summer and was able to pay his entire mission. And what came so strongly to me is that that would bless him in ways we did not understand. And the Lord wanted him to have those blessings. And I still don't understand how, but I have such a testimony that his life so far has been amazingly blessed and how grateful I am for that. And so I love that, that he gives them this command and they are going to be chased again out of this place and they're going to be commanded again to buy lands and to give everything they have. And it seems to be a theme with them. And as I read that history and see that over and over, I think, why didn't they ever say, I'm done? You keep saying this. It's the same thing as we keep hearing he's coming. It's been 200 years. And it's exactly the lesson of yesterday. The unwise virgins got tired of hearing the message and just procrastinated, thought it's not here. The wise continued to look steadfastly and stand in holy places. And one of the things I loved about that parable is if you look at every picture that has been done of that parable, the wise and the foolish are not intermixed. It's always the wise, the five wise are together and the five foolish are together. And a friend of mine who teaches seminary had an impression come to her one day as we were studying to teach this. And the Spirit said to her, notice they are not intermixed. And then the Spirit said, it is so important who you surround yourself with. Who are your five wise? And I love that because it makes me think of President Nelson's conference talks where he said, don't sit with your doubts around with other doubters. And really, it matters who we surround ourselves with. So I love that he commands them and they obey again and again and again. And there are blessings in that obedience, like I said, that I don't fully understand, but I know it's true. 67, and the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord shall also be there, insomuch the wicked will not come, and it shall be called Zion. And 68, and it shall come to pass among the wicked that every man will not take his sword against his neighbor, must needs flee to Zion for safety. And I love that he's talking about the safety that comes in Zion, and it is spiritually. But also as this prophecy is, he talks about the war in their own land, this civil war. They were safe in Utah. It is amazing that this is so prophetic. And also section 87 that talks about the issue, I'll flip there really quick, about African slavery in the American continent. And the prophecy in there, it's just amazing that this is going to be so many years in the future, but they will be, it will come to pass. I love that. 69, and there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven, and it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. And I know that, can signify our day too, and it will signify our day too, but it did theirs with the Civil War. And it shall be said among the wicked, let us not go up to battle against Zion, and this is our day, for the inhabitants of Zion are terrible, wherefore we cannot stand. And I love that. It really makes me smile. And it shall come to pass, the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations and shall come to Zion singing songs of everlasting joy. And that is so sweet to think of these pioneers who did sing songs of everlasting joy and came. And I believe that will be us too that we will recognize the gift it is that we are going to gather with others spiritually and that the Savior is coming. It is all our focus, but it is great and glorious, and it's not a mistake that the Lord calls it a great day. And 72, and now I say unto you, keep these things from going abroad until it is expedient in me that you may accomplish this work in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of your enemies, that they may not know your works until you have accomplished the things I commanded you. 73, that when they shall know it, they may consider these things. And I love that. They will know they're true. That prophecy is true. Look at how they were protected from the Civil War. And it will be true in our day when he comes again. 74, for when the Lord shall appear, he shall be terrible unto them. And I love that, because it isn't that he is terrible. It's that they know every knee shall bow and every tongue confess he is the Savior. And they procrastinated. And fear may seize them, and they shall stand afar off and tremble. And will he be screaming at them? No, he wants them all. And like Alma the Younger, all they have to say is, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. He wants them all. But it truly will be their choice. And all nations shall be afraid because of the terror of the Lord. And that is the honor of the Lord, the praise of the Lord, recognizing who he is and the power of his might. Even so, amen. They will recognize he is stronger than anything. And he is our God. And I so look forward to that. What an amazing section, and what fun to go through and read these prophecies and know that they have come and been fulfilled. I think it's astounding to read and realize how protected they were of the Civil War and all the sacrifice. I truly believe they would say to us these great things that were accomplished, how grateful they were for the part they played. And they would probably say small part to us. It's astounding all that they did, and we're so grateful. But I truly believe in our day, we will feel the same. It was a small part, and many will look and say it was astounding. I truly believe that. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.